WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Christopher Cruz. We begin with startling news of a crime at one of the world's most famous museums. Reports say chainsaw-wielding robbers fled with jewelry after attacking the Louvre in Paris as it was opening this morning. The museum is the home of the Mona Lisa and the wedding feast at Cana. The State Department says it has credible reports that Hamas could violate the ceasefire with an attack on Palestinian civilians in Gaza. The BBC's Frank Gardner reports from Jerusalem.
Hamas has vigorously denied this report, saying they've no plans to carry out an imminent attack on anybody. If such an attack were to take place, that would be in contravention of points 13 and 14 of the 20-point Trump peace plan.
American officials say if Hamas proceeds with the attack, measures will be taken to protect the people of Gaza and preserve the integrity of the ceasefire. Israel, meanwhile, says Hamas handed over two coffins of deceased hostages from Gaza late yesterday. Hamas has now handed over the remains of 12 of the 28 dead hostages, a key step in the week-old ceasefire process meant to end 2 years of war. Hamas says devastation and Israeli military control of some areas of the Gaza Strip have slowed the handover. Organizers of the anti-Trump No Kings protests say millions of people showed up in all 50 states and the District of Columbia during a total of 2,600 protests. CBS's Ali Bauman reports from Morristown, New Jersey.
This county has deep roots in the nation's founding, known as the military capital of the American Revolution.
Our forefathers fought off kings and said no kings for the first time. So it is full circle.
Judy Kelly is one of the local organizers.
To defend democracy on this land, it does mean a lot to all of us.
This veteran protested in Texas.
I believe in democracy. I fought for democracy.
Even if you're divorced, you probably haven't soured on marriage. At least that's what the numbers say.
Divorced Americans might not have to worry about being alone. Chances are remarriage is in their future. That's according to an analysis of federal data by the Pew Research Center. Pew says about 1.8 million Americans got divorced in 2023, but eventually two-thirds of divorced Americans marry again. Men and women are remarrying at a fairly similar rate, though divorced men are slightly more likely to remarry than women, Pew found. A slight caveat the analysis showed was that widows are less likely to remarry than women who have been divorced. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The study found that almost half of divorced Americans who remarry have a child with their new spouse. Police in Milwaukee investigating a shooting that took place last night near Marquette University. Three people have serious injuries. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. Wednesday was White Cane Safety Day. The day has been around for 60 years and recognizes people who are blind or have visual impairments. It's also a reminder to motorists to stop 10 feet away from people carrying a white cane.
In Wisconsin, motorists are required to stop no shorter than 10 feet from a pedestrian who is in the roadway, who is carrying a white cane or using a service animal.
Denise Jess is executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She herself is blind and carries a foldable white cane. She says reminding drivers to take extra caution benefits all people.
We don't want drivers running over pedestrians, period. But vulnerable pedestrians who really can't see you coming need that that extra protection under the law.
Wisconsin's white cane law comes with a fine. And even though it's not against the law, Jess says it's also not helpful to honk.
But honking is confusing because we don't know if you're honking at us. You know, we have no way of visually verifying. Are you honking at us? Are you honking to give us information? Are you honking because you're irritated that you had to stop? There's no way to understand what that honk is. So while it's not statutory limited, it's just it's just confusing. We don't know how to interpret it.
Just says care and attention while on the road doesn't only benefit folks who are blind or low vision. It also benefits you as a driver.
It's so critical to our safety and your well-being. You know, if you were to hit one of us, it would change your life as well, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
October is also National Pedestrian Safety Month. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Plenty of sunshine today, but it will be breezy and much cooler. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 30s. On Monday, a few scattered showers in the afternoon. Breezy again, a little warmer with highs near 63. Current temperature is 46.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Double fisted right there, man. Saturday. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and fellas, you know, doing John and Gordy again this past Thursday morning. And John was, he's like, I just love that. Educated educators talking education line. He's like, hey, I just love it. So, you know, it's good to know we've got a fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've got a few more. We got Jacob, the producer. We got Jacob's grandpa.
I was going to say, I forgot. Jacob's grandfather. That's
we got that. We got a few. We got Matt Damon's mom, Matt right? Damon's mom, we got. Yeah.
We got your colleagues in Finland.
Absolutely. The Finns are listening. You know, we've got a few. We've got a couple there, yeah. Tim. You know, yeah. Don't sell yourself short.
No.
Don't fill your brain with all that negative self-talk.
I was making fun because I really enjoy Thursday mornings getting on with John and Gordy. And actually, Johnny, Gordy was in Chicago for the protests, and Catherine Lake was guest hosting, and got to, you know, hang out with Catherine for a little bit. And Johnny, I reminded her that without Catherine Lake, Civic Media and Busted Pencils and, you know, where we are today wouldn't have happened without Catherine Lake. She was the one who
agreed.
Said, she's like, you guys are like the Car Talk of education, man. We got to get get you on more often and get you some more, you know, what do you want to say? Putting a little bit of a light on what we do here at Busted Pencils. So it was fun hanging out with Catherine, fun hanging out with John. Glad to know that they love the Educated Educators Talking Education. And
but Tim, with two guys with as much hot air as we have, all it took was somebody with a hot air balloon to come by and say, hey, these guys have hot air. I have a hot air balloon. Let's fly. And boy, did we ever. Catherine Lake, she did pump our tires. Hey, and
yeah.
Give us some confidence and say, you know, keep talking about education because you guys say it so well. It's the bedrock of democracy. Mm. Right. And we have to be, if we're not talking about what's happening in our schools and we're having a political discussion about strengthening democracy, we're missing an important key facet of that. And we said, look, you're speaking our language here. That's what we're talking about. So, hey, the more we got together and talked, especially with Catherine, The more the magic happened. Hey,
yeah. Remember, you know, I said, love doing the podcast drops Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. Love making sure that there's a full 1 hour Saturday show. But I don't think we would
Saturday broadcast, baby.
I don't think we'd be able to do what it is we do had Catherine not said, you guys are doing 5 days a week live call in radio for a while. And boy, that was. Let's be honest. That was fun, but man, challenging to do. As you say, you know, kind of like thrown into the crucible there and learn to, you know, kind of roll with it and take things in. And here we are, the professional broadcasters that we are right now. Everybody out in civic media land listening is like, my goodness, I thought you guys were real pros. You know, come on. We're just some educated educators talking education. And now that we've added Jacob, chairman of the board, to the mix, watch out. Jacob, what do you, you know, I mean, you got big plans for us, don't you?
I've got a lot of big plans. I don't want to say anything, okay, but
huge.
Let's just say we might get you guys with Ben Affleck. I'm just putting it out there. It's a possibility.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa.
Now, by that, I mean I'm going to send him an Instagram DM and we'll see. I probably not. But for the folks out there, I want them to get hyped about possibilities down the way.
I mean, he's definitely an educated guy who likes to talk about education. So I'm sure it'd be great conversation.
We need to expand our pool of potential guests. Yeah. We can get anybody.
Everybody, get everybody in the pool. Let's go.
Get
it's a
your
pool
trunks.
Party. Jacob's throwing.
Yes. I don't know. As long as there's no peeing in the pool, though.
Then I'm not
going.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
Well, but, you know, we do have that pool, though, that if that happens, it turns purple. So, you know.
You've got the gotcha pool?
Yeah, we got the gotcha pool. You know, that pool that they tell you it was a little kid. They're like, if you pee in this pool.
Well, speaking about peeing in pools and also speaking about just getting thrown into the crucible of things. You know, I can remember getting thrown into the crucible of school.
Oh,
at the ripe young age of almost turning. I think I was probably 5. I don't think I was quite yet the appropriate age for what we're talking about today. Well, tangent to what we're talking about today. But Tim, this week we've kicked the story around a little bit here at Busted Pencils. Mm-hmm. It's certainly been mulled over in the media. Mm-hmm. And I bet you even like John and Gordy and other shows have, you know, tickled this story a bit, have touched on what's happening in New York with kindergarten, not just any old kindergarten though, because in New York, many, you know, for all you New Yorkers listening, especially you in Manhattan Island, like the Manhattaners, right? You know about that. You start pretty much before you even have kids in New York. And it's like this in other places too. There are certain elite preschools and early year education classrooms, to be specific, in New York. There's a guy picking on what's called gifted kindergarten education. So Tim, I thought maybe we should just talk about that today, get into things happening in New York, because it's not only in New York City. Mm-hmm. That kindergartners are increasingly evaluated, but there's this whole thing where we start sorting and calling kids in particular gifted. And I'm not picking on you if you're out there and say, hey, wait a minute, but I'm gifted. You know, don't worry. We're not here to bully you.
Johnny,
everybody's got their own unique contributions and gifts.
We're all gifted. We're all gifted on Busted Pencils.
Technically, by definition, though, if we're going like street level definition, I agree. Like, we all bring unique characteristics to the conversation. I'm bringing hot air. But the whole point of this, though, is there is an operational definition for, you know, some districts call it talented and gifted, or extraordinary talent, or gifted programs. Accelerated programs is another term for these particular tracks that start as early as preschool and kindergarten. And it's been in the headlines this week. So I thought, hey, let's chop it up a bit. Let's talk about, one, what's happening in New York. And then two, you know, our early memories of, you know, testing or not testing into talented and gifted programs. You know, might carry some scars with us into that conversation. But that, really, we've been talking about testing, Tim. We've been talking about that. And this story runs tangent to it. So I thought, well, let's get into it with our listeners.
Get into it. Put it out there. Okay, what we're talking about is, yes, in New York City. New York City, there's a mayoral race going on. Who's going to be the next mayor of New York City?
Ooh, bold prediction.
Yeah, you know, and Zohran Mamdani is going to be the Democratic nominee for mayor, having won the Democratic primary, beating Mario Cuomo. However, Mario Cuomo is going to remain in the race as an independent.
Or perhaps his son, Andrew Cuomo.
Okay.
It may be his son, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and not Mario Cuomo from the 80s and 90s.
Sorry, Jacob. I had a back to the future moment or something like that. Yes.
Hold on. Tim's got to go crank up his Model T.
Andrew Cuomo, yes, is not going to accept the Democratic defeat and is going to run as an independent. Republican, not exactly sure. However, Zohran Mamdani won pretty decisively, has a lot of support, running as a Democrat, and has, you know, also pointed out that he's actually a Democratic socialist. If anybody wants to know what that means, Bernie Sanders is probably our best example of a Democratic socialist. We're not going to do a whole lot
of defining. AOC.
But AOC. Yeah, I think AOC. Yeah, AOC too.
Champion. I like what she champions. I like those ideas.
Yeah, but Mamdani is, you know, pointing out some things that people are really excited about. However, his proposal is, Johnny, to do away with the gifted and talented kindergarten program in New York City. And you were alluding to that, wow, why would he do that? And boy, there's like so many different ways to talk about this, because is it testing? Is it right? And as you pointed out, I mean, some people prepare their kids neonatally to get ready to be accepted into the gifted kindergarten program in New York City, because it's like a major lottery win to get into this kind of things, where it will set your future up in ways kind of incredible. And so this is one of the program proposals that isn't going over well with New York City liberal elites.
New York City!
There he is again. So the liberal elites do not like this program, pointing it out there. So
I don't like it either, Tim. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and with my fellow New Yorkers out there, I'm, you know, if you're ruffled about this, you got to take a closer look. I'm against it, so I'm excited to get in. I mean, I'm against gifted programs. I'm a big fan of acts in these things, so I'm kind of excited about seeing this movement and this conversation for a number of reasons, but I'm glad that it's happening, and especially in New York. I mean, I think it's a great place to just drop the hammer on this. You know, I think it's like if we're going to end a practice that I think, you know, I hate to pick on it, but my entire time teaching, I was never really a big fan of these programs, these tracks. So we could get into it, but no, I especially am not a fan for, you know, any determinant factor at age 5-6 years old, you know, other than, do you know where to put the pee yet or not? Right. Oh, those kinds of things.
Not in the pool.
Do you eat crayons and glue? No. Okay, good. Are you learning the alphabet? You like to sing songs and, you know, you're learning to get along with others. Great. Let's get together with other people around that same age and some of the best teachers in the country, those kindergarten teachers out there. And we learn to learn together. So I'm a big, I'm not a huge fan of the increased testing and sorting mechanisms. that are pretty closely wed to these talented and gifted programs. So I'm excited to hear that we're thinking about giving them the axe places.
Wow. Johnny Lupinacci dropping a hammer.
New York City!
Man, and a bowling ball. What, right out there. I got to tell you, though, if you're wondering where Tim and Jacob are on this, well, when we get back, we're going to talk to Jacob, chairman of the board, when we get back.
Choo-choo!
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wow. Ooh, because they're back already. Yep. Educated educators talking education. Well, you know what that means. Busted pencils. Civic Media Saturday. If you're listening in your car, if you're listening on your radio somewhere, you know, we appreciate it. Downloaders, we love that you also are participating whenever you can. It is, the 1 hour show. Gifted and talented. We're talking about New York City. Johnny, go ahead.
New York City!
There it is. Yes, that place. And the Democratic nominee for mayor, Zohran Mamdani, is proposing to do away with the elite kindergarten gifted program. You got to hear where Johnny Lupinacci was. He's like, good for him, man. We need to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And I said, well, you know, you haven't heard.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on this one, man.
You haven't heard from Tim and Jacob. And I was like, okay, before me, how about Jacob, chairman of the board? Jacob, what are you thinking about this? And how's this sitting in your bird's nest?
Well, over here in my nest, Tim, I think it's easy for you and Johnny to be critical because you guys were not talented or gifted as children. But for me, I was one of these talented, gifted children. I went to a cool magnet elementary school, and then I got invited to the gifted accelerated elementary school in my city where I'm from. And the same thing in middle school. I was accepted into the gifted accelerated thing. Now, I will say that I turned down both of those opportunities because I liked my friends. So I don't know if they actually work. I went there briefly, and then I said, I'm okay. I like the normal people back at the normal school.
So you dropped out of giftedness.
I did. Well, no, I didn't drop out of being gifted. I'm still awesome. But I'm more of a working man's guy. So I stuck with my blue-collar scholar crew back at the real school.
All right.
And so for me, this proposition, I like the idea of not having these cloistered clusters of the gifted. I think everybody cloistered should be clusters. Together.
Yes.
That's the name of this episode, cloistered clusters.
Oh, my God.
But maybe you could say, well, that's all well and good for you to say that after you had these opportunities and squandered them. Don't take it away from other people. But I think overall it's good for everybody to be in one good public school. That's my
thought. Okay. Yeah. So bigger, broader issue here. So as Johnny said, yes, I'm not going to say where this is happening again, but gifted and talented, you know, I know some people who would criticize gifted and talented at any age, because typically the assessment made to determine that has largely been some form of a numerical standardized test. And we've come a long way in recognizing that children, people have all kinds of ways to demonstrate intelligence, giftedness. In fact, you know, we had Howard Gardner on the show a few months back talking about multiple intelligences. And, you know, and so when you say somebody's gifted, how do you make that determination? So any of these gifted programs, if you're a gifted advocate out there, you know, definitely leave some voicemails for us and some emails, because we'd gladly like to talk to you. But I'm always just, that's my biggest issue, is the narrowness of the determination. And then though too, when we talk about, Johnny, you pointed out 5-year-olds and actually 4 years old in a lot of kids, because they're rushing to get them in. And so a lot of parents will enroll their kids at age 4 if they qualified. Can a 4-year-old demonstrate giftedness on some form of a standardized assessment? And is that a valid score? And if a 4-year-old can't score gifted, is that really an assessment that they're not gifted? Because when they develop a little bit more a few years later, all of a sudden, holy crap, we missed them. And so do they get out there? I think there's a whole bunch of issues here, you know, gifted and talented as even a specialness that certain kids should get this extra attention, more opportunity, however you want to describe whatever it was you gifted and talented people got when you left the classroom and left the rest of us blue collar kids to hang out and listen to teachers drone on. But kindergarten, that's another issue that I think is incredibly important to point out, that I'm kind of really skeptical of identifying any 4- and 5-year-old as gifted. And I'm even more skeptical of saying to kids they're not at that age. The proposal here, Johnny, actually, when we dig in deep, just to make sure that we're accurate, is actually to only do away with the kindergarten gifted program, to phase back in, though, a 3rd grade acceptance into gifted programs in New York City. And so, you know, I think we got some issues. Is it too young to make a determination at that age? The blowback, as we say, the liberal elites in New York City are absolutely up in arms by this. See this as an affront. And I'm going to point out to go, of course they do, because this is a privilege that they have for so long kind of hoarded and taken up for themselves.
And as you pointed out, how is it that you determine somebody's gifted in kindergarten? Well, there's usually a lot of extra resources that parents bring in birth until the age of 4 and 5 that a lot of other kids don't have the opportunity to have. So there's a whole big issue there. Jacob, I'm sorry you dropped out of giftedness. I never had the chance because I failed that test. And, you know, more though, man, lots to go on. Can't wait for Johnny Lupinacci to come back and really tell us how horrible giftedness is. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. There's been a robbery at the famous Louvre Museum in Paris. Jewelry was stolen. The U.S. says it has credible reports Hamas is planning attacks on Palestinian civilians in Gaza. The BBC's Frank Gardner.
Hamas has vigorously denied this report, saying they've no plans to carry out an imminent attack on anybody.
An Israeli official says Hamas breached the ceasefire today with sniper fire and a rocket-propelled grenade on Israeli troops in southern Gaza. There were hundreds of anti-Trump No Kings protests nationwide, including in Morristown, New Jersey. Here's Judy Kelly.
Our forefathers fought off kings and said no kings for the first time. So it is full circle. To defend democracy on this land, it does mean a lot to all of us.
A shooting last night near Marquette University in Milwaukee. WDJT-TV reporter Catherine Merck.
We reached out to the Milwaukee Fire Department, who told us 3 shooting victims have been sent to the hospital with serious injuries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers lost at home to Ohio State 34-0 for a second week in a row. The Badgers were shut out. Last week, they lost to Iowa 37-0. Now, the last time the Badgers lost in back-to-back shutouts was 1977. Head coach Luke Fickell asked about fans at Camp Randall Stadium chanting "Fire Fickell" again.
I know this, that it's disappointing to our kids, but it's also can be motivating as well. And that's what we got to continue to find, is the ways to motivate us intrinsically that puts a better product out there, so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Badgers linebacker Darrell Peterson on dealing with the loss.
Oh, you learn from it. I mean, we just played the number 1 team in the country. Now we played some slouches. Played a great team. And they played great on offense and defense today. You got to learn from it, and you got to keep going.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. The Packers looking for their first road win this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Plenty of sunshine today, but it will be breezy and much cooler. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour, highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 30s. On Monday, a few scattered showers in the afternoon, breezy again, a little warmer with highs near 63. Current temperature is 46.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Ma, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotions. A few seconds later, my mother said, Oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom. It's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotions, and their customers are paying for it. Well, PureTalk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. Trust me, I would know. That's why they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a crazy fast 5G network for just $25 a month. And if you're a business owner, you could really save a fortune. Dial pound 250, say the words Mike Rowe, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's pound 250, Mike Rowe. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jay and Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Man, I love coming into the third segment here because it's where we get to really drone on busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. New York City, mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani has proposed eliminating the gifted kindergartner program in New York City. We have gone all kinds of different directions talking about this. However, so if you do away with it, then what would take its place? And there was a point, Johnny, I was wondering if I can get your reaction to this, saying, okay, if you're going to get rid of it, then you need to level up the game for all kindergartners to make sure that every kindergartner in New York City gets every opportunity to demonstrate how awesome they are. And then we'll maybe consider letting you do away with the gifted program. What do you think?
No, I think I like where you're going with that, Tim. I think, you know, people are very reactive to Zoran's, proposal here to cut, like you said, cut the gifted kindergarten programs. Because I think if we look big picture, you know, his stance and policies proposed on education emphasize universal child care, right? And so he's pledged, you know, to really work hard towards a free universal child care system, which would benefit all students. And so, you know, I think that early start, those early interventions for any kid in New York are more important and arguably have a bigger impact than, you know, sorting. And I like that you emphasize really the critique of the gifted kindergarten program isn't to, you know, end all gifted programs or end all accelerated instruction, but just saying, you know, hey, I don't think we should subject 4 and 5 year olds to a single high stakes assessment, right? It unfairly separates them at a young age, right? And so then what do you do if you're not going to have these sorting mechanisms in place? Well, then you got to have something where the standard comes up. And I think that's there in the proposed, you know, policies, primarily around universal childcare and emphasizing public school funding. Like where's that going to happen in our public schools? Well, who's paying for that? The public, right? That's the whole socialist Democrat platform, right? That's that idea here that, there's a strong social responsibility of the government to adequately fund public schools and especially to provide childcare, right? And I know that runs antithetical to what a lot of critics of not only Zoran, but of socialist democracies have. They say, well, that's not the job of the government. That's the job of parents, right? And so if parents aren't providing it, then that's on them. Shame on them. And sorry, kid, that's what you get for being born where you're born. So those are two very different, distinct sets of beliefs. A belief that no matter what you're born into, school, you know, funded properly by government, provides you with a base that gives you opportunities. right, that you can work in, that you have a quality education, and that starts early. So universal childcare. But Tim, you nailed it. The critics, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're, you know, critics of the social responsibility of governments to fund schools, or they're critics even within that, dare we say, like liberal critics that are saying, wait, that impacts our kids' education, right? And you're trying to prioritize equity at the expense of students who need advanced instruction, right? AKA my kids, powerful elite parent that has, you know, probably left-leaning views when it's popular, right? Mm-hmm. And in public settings are like, yes, I am a good Democrat, but not when it comes to taking resources and away from my kid and allocating them across other kids whose parents, it's their responsibility for them, right? And there's a slippery slope into a shared critique. So, hey, really great to offer our listeners, you know, we'll plug no sponsorship here in connection, though would love to have a conversation with the folks that made the podcast I'm about to recommend. There's a great podcast on NPR, right, called Nice White Parents. And it's about affluent parents in New York City. Ooh. And it's really telling to the power and the politics of public schools in New York City, which have a long history, even in the public school sector, of not being so equitable, but championing a message of equity. So it's a great podcast called Nice White Parents. It isn't only talking about white folks. You know, they do a great job of saying just this is more about affluent New York culture, mm-hmm. right? That also has a strong tinge of whiteness to it historically here. But, you know, really looks at, well, do we really care about kids or do we mostly care about our own kids? Mm-hmm. And those things start to contradict when you look at things like, hey, we are going to invest in a public education system that provides, you know, a high floor mm-hmm. for every single kid. And I'll even pump Zohran's tires a little more here too and say his policies align in this spirit all the way through higher ed. He's a strong advocate that, like, City University in New York, CUNY, our colleagues are there, man. I have friends who went to grad school there doing amazing work in education. He believes that if you're a New York City kid, right, that school should be free of tuition for you to attend.
Okay.
And I know a lot of New Yorkers who believe that. And I know some who are going to think, no way. I had to pay my way through there. So the next generation should also have to pay. It's like, hey, hold on. Right. Let's practice what we preach. Right. If you believe in strong democracy, you believe in educational equity, you believe especially and we'll go away from the higher ed example and back to children, that kids should be given an opportunity to make the most of whatever situation they're in. Well, then you do that through strong public school systems. And I like this idea that the gifted kindergarten program, mm-hmm. you know, let's get rid of that in lieu of making sure every kindergartner or every preschooler or every young person has a great start.
Can I ask a question?
Jacob.
Oh, sorry, Tim, do you want to go?
No.
Please. Okay, here's my question. If we're in New York City and we've got the youngest Rockefeller and we've got little young Johnny Lupinacci, the youngest Rockefeller, if he thinks he's gifted or he's an elite, he wants to go to a nice school, he can go to Andover Prep like George Bush and his parents can pay for that. But the gifted program is here to help a guy who doesn't have a lot of money get that same sort of treatment to go through the system. Is that not true or am I missing something on that?
I'm going to take a different spin on that for you, Jacob, and see if this makes sense with your question. Johnny points out something that actually you'd say, okay, wealth and what wealth can provide. You're absolutely right, Jacob. You know, rich people have options. They don't have to rely on the New York City public schools, right? But what's happened over time here with this New York City gifted kindergarten program it in and of itself has become its own kind of exclusive place for special people and special families, that it's kind of gotten its own sense of whatever, you know, awesome prep school that you could go to. Getting accepted as a kindergarten to the New York City gifted program maybe is just as good, maybe even better than some of the more private elite schools. But, you know, to point out, how would you actually make kindergarten, you know, equitable? Well, it's going to take funding. And first of all, I'm going to point out and make this some form of a speculation, just in case I'm wrong. But the amount of wealth that's concentrated in the roughly 1,500 to 2,000 kids that get into gifted and talented kindergarten in New York City, they probably have enough money to fully fund incredibly awesome kindergarten, and so that it would be great for all public kids. But I'm going to bet they would never want to do that, because the reality is that what makes this program the way it is and why people are so ruffled is because it was an exclusivity, a special place that had kind of created its own sense of, you know, this is mine, this is ours, and you're taking away something special for us that actually gave our kids extended privileges. And the reality is that, Johnny, you're right. What I care about is my kid. And so I'm not going to fully fund equitable, awesome education for all kids, because then my kid would just be one of all kids, and my kid ain't one of all kids. Jacob, does that help?
I don't have any kids, so I have no horse in this race. What I could tell you, Dr. Tim, is that as an incredibly gifted person myself, I think that this treatment should be extended in as much as possible to all kindergartners, and especially at those the younger levels. I think it's crazy that you would break people up like that. Kids should have a nice, good standard of education.
Mm. Well, and here's the thing, Tim, even though I'm going to be, you know, more advocating for, I'm not sure that these programs should exist at all. All right. That's a little extreme. In the case of New York City, there just is overwhelmingly strong evidence that you can't determine this.
Yeah.
In kindergarten. Right. So they're saying like, hey, let's just put a pause on all these programs till third grade.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe then they're saying like, hey, third grade, there is an appropriate, you know, time in which, you know, the assessments, I'm going to pluralize that. So hopefully it's not just, you know, take this one test and here you go, you're in the accelerated program. But the assessments say, hey, there's a need here for some accelerated learning for a group of students, and they're going to be served in a different capacity and, you know, in this particular grouping. And again, I'm not a big fan of it. That's probably controversial, even in a agree to disagree kind of way. I could be wrong about this thing. I'll admit that. But what seems to be, you know, consensus, and we lean on that a lot here.
There we go.
Is that you can't determine this in kindergarten. So no one's telling the parent, you know, that's against this, say, hey, but my kid's gifted, you know. It's like, well, actually, we don't necessarily know that in a very real way until maybe later in their educational career, and they'll still have those opportunities ahead of them. But for now, like, they're just kind of like all the other kids, and keep doing the great work that you're doing, because, yep, they know their ABCs a little bit faster than maybe their neighbor does. Great. Let's get them all together, keep them together for a few years, and see what happens.
My neighbor. You bringing up my neighbor, Johnny Lupinacci.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
You got a neighbor in New York City.
I got to tell you, though, you're talking about my kid, and my kid, Johnny, is gifted and is special. Oh, I don't know. Oh, what are we going to do with all of these smart kindergartners? Maybe we'll figure it out when we get back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Bam, 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 bam. Woo! Man. You guys thought there was an extra guitar. That was Johnny Lupinacci. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Ripping through the scales.
Through. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators. Talking education. Talking gifted education. More specifically, New York City kindergarten giftedness. Democratic nominee for mayor, Zohran Mamdani, is proposing to do away with gifted kindergartening. Man, we've had a discussion kind of all over the place on this. I'm going to guess, though, that between all three of us that we are really, you know, adamantly and very strongly saying, like, hold on, kindergarten, no. We got to at least stop the sorting and give these kids a little bit more time to potentially developmentally, you know, show some things that maybe a four-year-old isn't showing, but maybe when they're eight, holy crap. Can I say that that's, we all agree, you can't tell if a kindergartner is gifted, or maybe you can, but maybe you can't know kids who will be gifted, potentially, is what we're saying. How's that?
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Okay.
Leave Jacob. The children alone, Tim. They're just trying to eat their paste and learn their letters. We don't have to treat all the kindergartners like Russian figure skaters and drill them from the time they're born into these perfect products.
Nice. Yeah, agreed. Let the utes be utes.
Exactly.
What is it? David Bowie and these children that you spit on. You got, come on, nobody can finish that.
Well, I was hoping you could because you just said the weirdest part.
Well, yeah, you know, we're talking about Changes, an incredibly awesome song. It was the ending quote of The Breakfast Club. David Bowie, the lyrics from Changes. These children that you spit on as they try to change their world. Come on.
Are immune to your consultations?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, right?
But you don't sound like David Bowie, can't you? Do you have
I don't have a David Bowie voice. No, I can't. I got a good neighbor voice, but I don't have a David Bowie voice. Sorry about that.
Right before the changes.
There, see, Johnny's got that voice. They're kids, you know. As you said, Jacob, my God, what are we doing? If anything, let's really take seriously childhood and acknowledge that every 4-year-old, if that's when they're gonna start kindergarten or 5-year, deserves a gifted education regardless of what their standardized test score might be later on in life, because we're talking about early childhood experiences, and there is nothing in the research that says you get anything but benefit when you provide more and more opportunity the younger and younger the kids are. And
early interventions, man.
That's it, Johnny. You point out about this all the time. It's an investment too. I mean, you know what?
Yeah.
Make kindergarten great again. There we go. What do you guys think?
Well, Jake? You know, we talked about it when we talked about the importance of Sesame Street and really great shows like that. I mean, it's all pours into our childcare system, right? And the more we support caring about children.
I'll try to get those Make Kindergarten Great Again hats ready for the next week. So I'll see what we can do in the merch department.
Make Kindergarten. That doesn't come off like a MAGA or a MAHA.
doesn't flow off the tongue so well.
I think, and Johnny, to point out too, like, this happens too, is that this will end up becoming an issue for people that they make their voting decision on. And the reality is, here's like, you want to be a great democratic citizen. There isn't any politician who's going to tick every box for you. It's kind of looking at this because, Johnny, actually his proposal, as you point out, for early childhood health care and things like that. Come on, man. I think you're right. If he pulls that off, wow, can you imagine what they call kindergarten readiness? Can you imagine how many more kids would be, quote, ready for kindergarten? Wow. I don't know. So much more, though. But you know what time it is, though, Johnny? It's time for your moment of zen. You do things again and again, and nothing happens. It requires patience, but not a passive patience, the patience of activism.
Thanks, listeners, for being patient with us today, listening to the broadcast. Remember to grab great podcasts chock full with all kinds of fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, you can always find us at the Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And make sure you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. And you can always find us on Friday for producer Jacob's choice. And just like today, You can tune in and listen to Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Daring robbers have reportedly stolen priceless jewelry from the Louvre in Paris, the museum that's home to the Mona Lisa. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is in Paris.
In this Apollo Gallery, which is a very ornate gallery containing what remains of the French crown jewels, they robbed a number of these items of jewelry. One newspaper is saying 9 items, but that's not being confirmed.
Organizers of the anti-Trump No Kings protests say millions of people turned out nationwide in all 50 states and the District of Columbia.
I want to be able to tell my future children that I was here, that I stood on the right side of history.
Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine says the government shutdown could end if the president promises to negotiate on the return of subsidies for health insurance premiums.
We just want an agreement from the president that a deal is a deal, that if we shake hands on a deal, that you won't unilaterally cancel it next week.
This is day 19 of the shutdown. CBS News Brief. I'm